you to turn to the last book of the Bible, written about 90 A.D., under the reign of Domitian, chapter number 1, and verse 1. A lot of churches around this town, other places, that if they do not outright forbid you to read the book of Revelation, they certainly never do in their churches. And that's a shame, because no other book in the Bible mentions Jesus Christ more than Revelation. No other book. No other book in the Bible reveals so much about Jesus Christ as the book of Revelation. No other book in the Bible approaches Jesus Christ from so many different angles as the book of Revelation. And no other book in the Bible speaks of the relationship of Jesus Christ to the creation like the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter number 1 and verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Make note of that Jesus Christ is called the Almighty. So the book of Revelation, we have very many portraitures, pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ that he would have us know, and God would not end his Bible without ending it on the note of his Son. I'm going to preach a message tonight entitled Christ in Revelation. Christ in Revelation. Throughout this book begins to unfold for us a beautiful picture of who Jesus Christ is. If you'll notice, he says in verse number 8, I am Alpha and Omega. That's the Greek language. If it were the Hebrew language, he would say, I am Aleph and Tau. If it's the English language, he would say, I am A and Z. And on down the line, whatever language it would happen to be. In plainer words, all of the letters that make up your language, however expressive they could be, however far-reaching they might be, however descriptive they could be, they could never surpass what that Bible has to say about Jesus Christ in his glory, in his power, in his humanity, in his deity, in his greatness. This Bible is about Jesus Christ. It is not about the church. It's about Jesus Christ. Because without Jesus Christ, there is no church. It is not about religion. For religion is a meaningless thing without Jesus Christ. It is not about the Ten Commandments, for the Ten Commandments have no power outside Jesus Christ. It is not about creation, for creation itself is nothing without the Creator. It is not about things and stuff. It's about Jesus Christ. If one reads the Bible from Genesis to Revelation and does not come away profoundly, profoundly convinced that Jesus Christ is the sum total of everything of existence, then you've missed the point of the Bible. This is why the last book in the Bible finishes up not about the tribulation period, but the tribulation period as it relates to Jesus Christ. not about the millennium, but the millennium as it relates to Jesus Christ. Not about the new creation, but the new creation as it relates to Jesus Christ. For nothing has meaning, nothing has existence, nothing has purpose outside Jesus Christ. For the Bible says He upholdeth all things by the word of His power. So the book of Revelation, therefore, is a book that certainly does reveal to us the future. It reveals to us judgment. It reveals to us the Antichrist. It reveals to us all these things. But these things are things. The book of Revelation unfolds for us the beauty and glory and power and majesty of the Lord Jesus Christ. So throughout the book of Revelation tonight, I want to preach to you what it has to say about Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 5. The Scripture says that He's the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. He told you in verse number 6 that you are priests and kings unto God. Who's He saying that to us? There is no priesthood on this earth that has any meaning whatsoever outside of the priesthood of the believer. Every last one of us tonight have authority to come in the name of Jesus before God Almighty. We can come as priests. And notice that the Bible says He's the faithful witness. He is faithful friend to the end. He always has been, always will be. The book of Revelation is a book of witness. It is a book of testimony. For the Bible says that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. To be able to say to one that I know whom I have believed. And I'm persuaded He's able to keep that which I've committed to Him against that day is the spirit of prophecy. Jesus Christ is a prophet. It is the prophet that died on the cross. And it is the priest that calls Almighty God to judgment of mankind. So the Bible starts in chapter number 1 saying that He is the faithful witness, first begotten of the dead, never to die again. All that ever rose before had to die again. But when Jesus Christ arose from the dead, He arose as the second man, the last Adam. Therefore, death had been conquered, had no power, stripped of its power. And when Jesus Christ stood on resurrection ground, all that believe in Him stand with Him too. And He's the prince of the kings of the earth. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our Lord and His Christ. Chapter number 1 and verse 7. He's the Alpha and the Omega, which I've commented on already. And He's called the Almighty. There is but one Almighty. And this is not a title given to Him. This is who He is. This is not someone calling Him the Almighty. He is by nature the Almighty. All power resides in His hands. Why should we read Revelation? That one verse should be enough right there. He is the Almighty. Verse number 8, Revelation chapter number 1. In chapter number 1, verses 13 through 18, you have a description of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gives you a detailed description of what He looks like. It says in verse 1, verse 13, in the midst of the candlesticks, The one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. His feet like unto fine brass as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went forth a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And every living creature will do the same thing. For the day will come when glory will be only one, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of creation, from hell itself all the way to glory, to the seraphim and cherubim, will fall before Him and take their rightful place. Chapter number 2 in verse number 18 says this about Him. In verse 18, unto the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God. Jesus Christ, speaking Himself about Himself, said, I am the Son of God. Don't ever let some poor ignoramus tell you that Jesus Christ never claimed to be the Son of God. For in John chapter number 9, He said to the man born blind that had been healed at the pool of Siloam, who is the Son of God that I might believe on? He said, I that speaketh unto thee am He. And in Revelation chapter number 2 and verse 18, He said, I am the Son of God. Chapter number 3 and verse number 7, it says this to the angel of the church of Philadelphia. These things saith He that is holy. He that is true, he that hath the key of David that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth, he is truth personified, and in him is no lie at all. Chapter number 5 and verse number 6, from all the way from chapter 4 through chapter 7, it takes up the idea of Jesus Christ being the Lamb of God. Chapter number 5 and verse 6 says, there stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the world. Chapter number 6 and verse 16, the lamb is presented again in a different fashion. They said, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They make merry tonight, drink tonight, smoke their dope tonight, live like hell itself tonight. But the day will come when they will fall before the Lamb and give glory to him. Chapter number 7 and verse 17. The Word of God says, for the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them into living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. In the book of Revelation, there is something about the Lamb that is not found anywhere else in the Bible. And that is that the manifestation of the Lamb of God in the book of Revelation is joined with the very presence of the Father himself in the last chapter of the book. And we'll get to that in just a few minutes. Chapters number 8 through 13 have to do with judgment as it is poured out upon this earth. Beginning with the seventh seal, chapter number 8 and verse 1. He opened the seventh seal, and there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Most people on the street would say there's something going to happen. We feel like something is about to happen, and it is about to happen. Chapter number 9 and verse number 2, we find the bottomless pit opened up. And out of it, the Bible says, and he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke, as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. So in chapter number 8, it tells you that the trees, the grass, and the sea, the trees and grass are burned up, and the sea is turned to blood. And then it tells you in chapter number 9 that hell itself is emptied out upon the face of this earth. It tells you that the time will come in chapter 16 when men shall desire to die and death will flee from them. My friend, this world is headed for judgment, and it won't be long. It is coming swiftly. In Revelation chapter number 9, 200 million horsemen come across the Euphrates River and approach into the battle of Armageddon. My friend, this Bible tells me that that battle will be fought, and the armies of hell shall gather against the Lord Jesus Christ. But he's coming again. In chapter number 10 and verse number 6, a statement is declared in the New Testament. And here's what it said. And they swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and things that therein are, the earth and the things that therein are, and the things and the sea and the things that therein are, that there should be time no more. In the New Testament book of Revelation, therefore, one declares time has come to an end. Somebody said, hold on, preacher, that only has to do with the end of a certain period of time, that it has ceased at that moment. Let me tell you who made time. God made time. Though the time ever was, there was God. Before the clock ever ticked, there was God. Eternity has no clocks ticking. The Almighty abides in his own glory. When he comes down to the earth and says, time is no more, I'm not so sure he's not simply saying, clocks are stopping at this moment. And when I tell them to start again, they start again. In Revelation chapter number 11 and verse number 4, the Bible said there are 2 olive trees and the 2 candlesticks standing before the God of the earth. What we have here are the 2 witnesses that are sent to Israel to prepare them for the coming of the Lord, to witness to planet earth. All the cameras and the news media are focused on these 2 witnesses, and the Antichrist tries to destroy them and cannot. And then finally, after 3.5 years of their ministry, the Spirit of God moves back and allows them to die. But then after 3 days, their heads come back on, which they probably do. They arise from the dead and are caught up hither. And the Bible tells you plainly in Revelation chapter number 11 that they're caught up hither. They're caught up to meet the Lord. Therefore becoming a type of tribulation saints who give their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter number 12 and verse number 1, Israel is introduced to us because that's the main theme of Revelation, not the church. The church has long since departed from the earth in chapters 4 and 5. When the door opens in heaven, the church leaves. And while this is going on earth, we are at the judgment seat of Christ and the marriage supper of the Lamb. But this world will be rocking and reeling. Verses chapters number 8 to 13 have to do with the judgment that God brings upon the earth. And then in chapter number 12 and verse 1, Israel is presented to us as the main focus. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And what follows in chapter number 12 is the story of the birth of Christ, and how that Satan came against him. Then what you find in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation is how God miraculously protects Israel during the tribulation period. Chapter number 13 is the rise of the Antichrist. You ought to be reading Revelation, for the Antichrist is alive right now somewhere in this world. And he's going to cause men to receive his mark, or the name, or his number of his name. My friend, that's coming. So you better be wise to what's coming. This world is ready for it. Every year I say to myself, it can't get worse, but it gets worse. Every year I say, the spirit of men cannot be more wicked than they are now, but it is more wicked. It continues to worsen around us, and it will until the Lord Jesus comes back. But the Bible says that the fullness of the Gentiles, the times of the Gentiles, will run their course. And the Scripture says that Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles. Right now they're fighting over who has authority in Jerusalem. The Secretary of State has already said, you're going to have to give up more land. It'll be painful for you. And I thought to myself, you're talking to a nation, to a country that was ancient before the United States ever existed. You're talking to a nation that has been prophesied in the Bible that will become the head of all the nations. And you're talking to a nation that God will judge you by how you treat that nation. The day will come when God will judge every nation on the face of this earth according to how they deal with Israel. Not Russia, not Cuba, not South America, but Israel. That's how God will judge us as a nation as to how we deal with Israel. You as an individual have already been judged, glory to God. You were judged at the cross, found guilty, and he paid your sin debt. And my friend, judgment therefore has passed from me. There is therefore now no condemnation or judgment to them who are in Christ Jesus. That means, friend, I've got a ticket to glory. My fare has been paid. And no one can stop that. If God Almighty begins to judge America, if fire and brimstone are poured out on this nation, you can be certain of one thing. His bride will be gone to meet him in the clouds and in the air. So in Revelation chapter number 13, the Antichrist will rise. You say, preacher, is this really a being that I must worry about? Let me tell you something. You've got his church. You've got his Bible. You've got his spirit. You've got his politics. You've got his economics. You've got his religion. This world has everything that the Antichrist will need to do what he intends to do. All that is left is to accept the man. And when he shows up, they'll accept him in a heartbeat. I believe that the generation alive today, right now, in Knoxville, Tennessee, would take the mark of the beast knowing they're going to hell just so they could live out their life and fornicate and drink and do as they please till they die. That's how jaded, how brainwashed, how cold and dead this generation is. This is a generation that mocks you in your face and says there is no God, there is no judgment. Well, friend, I'm just the preacher. I'm not God. I don't bring judgment. But you can make certain of this. The one that saved me in 1973, my friend will be the one that comes to take up his bride to meet him in the clouds. And when he carries his bride out of this world, all hell will be turned loose. He that letteth will be removed out of the way. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. And the only ones to be saved in the tribulation period will be the Jews that God miraculously preserves as he carries them off into various places, and the peoples of the Gentiles who come through that period and receive and refuse the mark, hide in the caves and the mountains and the holes in the world and go to the ends of the earth to escape the power of the Antichrist. Apart from that, everybody on the face of this earth will take his mark. You don't think you'll stand against that, do you? If you don't know the Lord Jesus. Chapter number 14 and verse number 4, though, I love this. These are they which were not defiled with women, for they are virgins. They are they which follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth. These were redeemed from among men, being the first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Who are they? They're the ones who came out of great tribulation. Chapter number 15, verse 2. And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, hallelujah, and over his name, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. These are tribulation saints. This is not the church. This is not the church of God. This is not the bride of Christ. These are those who are by their millions scattered over this earth, who have never heard the name of Jesus, know nothing of the Word of God. But during this tribulation period, a supernatural power comes on planet Earth. 144,000 male Jewish virgins begin to preach like nobody's preached before. And the power of God sends that message to the ends of the earth. And they're saved by believing the message. The Bible even says that an angel flies through the heavens preaching the everlasting gospel. God has his witness in the tribulation. There's not much witness left now. The average church in this country is the road to hell. When you walk through the doors of the average church in America, you're walking into hell. You say those are strong words. Those are powerful words, preacher. When you walk into a house that denies the virgin birth, the deity of Christ, the blood atonement, salvation by grace, you are in the midst of hell itself. Hell on earth. You are in the midst of a bunch of God-denying, Christ-rejecting reprobates that know nothing of the salvation that our fathers have preached for millennium. I just happened to be one little preacher at the tail end of what went for 2,000 years before me. I am not one bit different from the hundreds of millions of our brothers and sisters who for 2,000 years preached one message, Jesus Christ and Him alone is the Savior of mankind. There is no other way. You must be washed in the blood of the Son of God, Revelation 1:5. You must be born again. Not Buddha, not Confucius, not Mohammed, not anything, but Jesus. That's all, folks. And I haven't added one thing to what tens of thousands of preachers have preached before me. We have had men in this pulpit who are gone on to glory that preached for 40 years before I was ever born. And these men stood in this pulpit and preached to you the very same thing that I'm preaching to you right now. Amen. I am not coming up with some new doctrine just to be different from the world. All you got to do is preach the gospel. You'll be different. You'll be different from this world. Chapter number 16, verse 1. The vials of the wrath of God are to be poured upon the earth. You don't want to be here. You notice that it says the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Now, friend, if you get angry at me, and I get angry at you, we can separate ourselves and take care of a lot of things. But if God's angry at you, there's nowhere you can go. David said, if I make my bed in hell, thou art there. There's nowhere you can go to get away from God. If the Almighty is angry, and He is, that Bible says in the Old Testament that He's angry with the wicked every day. The wrath of God begins to be poured out on this earth. Men won't be ready. Then in chapter number 17, verse number 5, the focus changes again. And here's what it says. Upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon, the Great, the mother of harlots, and abominations of the earth. Who is this? This is a religious figure. This is a political figure. This is a domestic figure. This, my friend, is an economic figure. In the book of Revelation, Babylon takes on at least three different identities. One religious, one social, economic, and the other politics or nation. Amen. So in the book of Revelation, Babylon is spoken of in three separate senses. The sense that you need to be concerned with tonight, according to Revelation 17, is the religious sense. Yeah. Who is this? Who is Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth? Who is it? Who would that be? Who is that? The Roman Catholic Church? It has to be the Roman Catholic Church. But it's not limited to the Roman Catholic Church. There's more here than just the Catholic Church. Look at Protestantism. Look at organized religion in our country now. Look at the millionaire preachers, name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, that go to any extreme, any extent, and the only thing they're concerned about is money, 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 money. I told someone this morning after the service, I said, I did not hear the word money mentioned one time in our church this morning. It was never mentioned one time in Sunday school, and it was never mentioned one time in preaching. It was never mentioned one time from this pulpit. Money was never mentioned one time in this house this morning. But there are churches in this town you go into, and from the time you get there to the time you leave there, it is one constant barrage of money, 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 money. Sow your seed, reap your harvest. Money, money, money. They've reduced Jesus Christ, with all respect that I could give to His blessed name, to nothing more than a sideshow. And they're the salesmen. And they're selling a product to people. And it comes across that way. And my friend, I'm so sick of that, I can't stand it. I mean, that sickens me to my soul. Jesus Christ is not bought and sold. He's not on the market block. We preach His word. Whatever He decides to do in this house is His business. I don't get up here when you come in here at night and say, now we're going to have a meeting in this house, and God's going to heal a bunch of people, and there's going to be power move through this place. What are you talking about? You're a salesman. You're a sideshow salesman. You're saying that you're going to stand up here and say all this, and God's going to have to comply because you said it. God may not do anything, but let you get good and quiet and search your soul and find out what prayer is about. I don't tell God what to do, but this is what you hear out of churches today. There are all kinds of churches in this country. Babylon. Babylon shows up. And oh, how I like chapter number 19 and verse 11. Oh, I love 19, verse 11. I know this one. And I saw heaven opened. You can go to heaven. You can go fly up the heavens in a rocket. You can move in space machines. But you're not going into this heaven. I saw heaven open. This is the third heaven. You can't enter any other way but by the door. And Jesus Christ is the door. And He said, behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And his eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. The written word and the living word has now come back to the earth. Chapter number 19 of the book of Revelation, He comes in power and glory. That is the hope of this earth. Man will never do anything to this earth but destroy it till Jesus Christ comes back. Note carefully, He doesn't come on a donkey. He doesn't come with horns on His head. He doesn't come with blood coming out of His side. But He comes as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Where's that found? Verse 16. And He hath on His vesture and on His thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No other God beside Him. God said, I know none. They don't exist. He's the only God there is. There's no God but Jehovah. There's no God but Jehovah. Amen. This bunch out here that calls themselves Jehovah's Witnesses don't have a clue who Jehovah is. If I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Yes, sir. Let me tell you what a Jehovah's Witness is. I'm a witness to Zechariah chapter number 12 and verse 10. Where Jehovah said, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Jehovah said that. I'm going to witness for Jehovah tonight. Hold on. Who did they pierce? Jehovah said, they'll look on me whom they pierced. Who'd they pierce? Jesus. Then Jesus is Jehovah. Amen. So therefore, I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I'm a Jesus Witness. Amen. If you're going to be a Jehovah's Witness, you better preach about Jesus. You better preach about His glory. You better preach about His eternity. You better preach about His beauty. You better preach about His power. You better preach about His identity. You better preach about His essence. You better preach about who He is to you and who He is to me. You better preach about how heaven glories His name. You better preach about the seraphim and the cherubim, the angels that fall before Him 24/7 and they worship the Lamb. You better preach about the One whose name is above every name. I don't know Jehovah. I don't know their God. But I know the Jehovah of the Bible, and His name is Jesus. Amen. I don't know their God, but I know this one. And this is the only true God there is. How do you know that, preacher? That's what John said in 1 John chapter number 5. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ. I agree with you, John. Didn't He write this book I'm preaching out of? He wrote Revelation, didn't He? Did He not also write the Gospel of John? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. John, are you telling me that God became flesh and dwelt among us? Yes, sir, that's what He's telling me. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. Amen. I certainly am. I don't know who that bunch is witnessing for, but I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I witness for John, not Yahweh either, but Jehovah. I have no reason to accept Yahweh. If some preacher gets up here, and you may hear one get up here and start talking about Yahweh, just be nice and congenial. Nod your head, amen, smile about it. But remember in the back of your mind that there is a controversy and a rage today about pronouncing Yod, Hey, Wow, Hey, the Tetragrammaton. How do you pronounce Yod, Hey, Wow, Hey? The only way anybody can pronounce anything is by Masorite vowel points. Otherwise, you are at a total loss. Who's a Masorite? A Masorite's a Jew. After all, should not God give to the Jew the ability to pronounce his own language? Why would a Gentile be so arrogant as to say he knows how to pronounce another man's language? Yod, Hey, Wow, Hey has no vowel points. You cannot pronounce four consonants. How do you pronounce Yod, Hey, Wow, Hey? J-H-W-H. Pronounce that. You can't pronounce it without an A, E, I, O, U, sometimes Y, and W. Amen. Grade one in grammar. You can't pronounce a word without a vowel. When a vowel's in a word, you better do something with it. You either pronounce it or it's silent. You can't just fly across it. That vowel's in there for a reason. Yod, Hey, Wow, Hey has hulam wow. Seghol. Yod, Hey, Wow. It has a wow. And it has a seray. It has four Hebrew vowels attached to it that the Masoretes gave you. And when you add those four Hebrew vowels, you get yeah. Yeah. Seghol. Ho. Hulam wow. Ha. Jehovah. You got Jehovah. All right? That's the only way you can pronounce it. With the vowel points. That's what those little dots and dashes represent. That's all it is. It's a Hebrew saying, this is the way you pronounce the Tetragrammaton. And now, my friend, I'm going to say Jehovah. I'm a Jehovah's Witness. I guarantee you somebody run out here tonight and they'll say, Preacher Lawson has done and lost his mind. He's a Jehovah's Witness. I heard him say it with his own mouth. Amen. Brother, will you take up for me? If somebody says I'm a Jehovah's Witness, will you say, yes, he is, but not like they are. Amen? Amen. You say anything anymore, people don't believe. They'll take it and they'll twist it. They'll spin it. They'll turn it. And they'll present it their own way. Repackage it. And when they're done with it, it wasn't anything like it was to start with. Amen. Let me tell you something. I'm crazy about Jesus. That's who I am. There's one name I want you to hear about, not mine. You may not even know my name. Don't need to know my name. My name's not important. But the name of Jesus is. Amen. Amen. Chapter number 20 and verse 11. Look at this one. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. I want to watch that. I want to see that when that happens. I do. I want to be standing right there. I want to see. And the implication from here is this. From whose face The heavens and the earth fled away. See? You remember what I preached on Wednesday night? I forget when. I'm up here so much I can't remember. But you remember when I was talking about face to face? The face. Moses saw His face. We behold His face. All right? But when He reveals His face to creation, what happens to it? What happens to creation when His face is revealed? When His face is revealed. It just goes into oblivion. It can't take it. Well, friend, if the creation, which is an inanimate object with no life in itself, goes, what do you think the unsaved sinner is going to do when that face is revealed? And he has to look into the eyes. This case of the Creator. That's who is the emphasis on Creator, not Redeemer. Creator. For creation. Creation. Creation is gone. My. I want to see that. I want to see it, brother. I want to watch it as it goes. I want to see it. So you're crazy, preacher. It's all right. I'll be there. I'll see it. You won't? I'm sorry. Your God died. Your God's dead. Your God's sick. I'm sorry. Mine never sneezed. Never had a headache. Never had a bad day. Never had a cold. My God is above. Amen. Chapter number 21, verse 6. He wants you to know again. I am the Alpha and the Omega. Chapter number 22. I love this. And verse 1. Here's the Lamb. He showed me a pure river of the water of life. I want to see that too, Brother Bacon. I want to see that. There's some stuff in here I got to see. I want to see that water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne singular, not thrones, throne singular, of God and of the Lamb. In chapter number 4 and 5, the Lamb is before the throne of the Father. Chapter number 22, the throne of the Father and the throne of the Lamb are one and the same. It's brought you to the point through the book of Revelation where He's the Lamb that was slain for the foundation of the world. He relates to creation. He gave Himself. As He relates to creation, He has a relationship with creation because He's the Lamb. See, He has a relationship with creation that the Father does not have. He does, as the Son. Father doesn't have that relationship. Son does. But when He comes to the throne of God, at the very end of it, it is now the Son and the Father on one throne. When God shall be all in all. Just one throne. Not three thrones and three gods. One God. And this you cannot figure. But when you stand before Him, you will see Him as He is. You will look into the face of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Not three gods, just one. But Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And when you look and see Him as He is, you will say to yourself, that never crossed my mind. I never heard anybody explain that. I never read about that in the book. Nobody's that smart. There was nothing in creation to compare it with. When you look into the essence of God Himself and see that triune Godhead in one being, you'll say to yourself, my, that's above me. That's why people don't believe in the Trinity. That's why the Apostolic Church, they believe Jesus only. They reject the Trinity. They believe Jesus is Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, all three in one. That's what they believe. The Apostolic Church has believed that for a long time. They teach that the Roman Catholic Church was the first one to teach the doctrine of the Trinity. No, they're not. The New Testament teaches the doctrine of the Trinity. I've given to you a number of different ways tonight. The Trinity is a mystery that can only be understood when you observe God as who He is. There's no way to put it in words. If you could take the Trinity of God, Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and really have anything in creation that was a direct representative or counterpart or copy or something like that of Him, then you have something that could equal God Himself. And there is no creation that can do that. Jesus Christ was not created. That is one of the greatest mysteries there is. How did God become a man? Well, the virgin birth. Well, we understand that. But how did He become a man? Well, the virgin bore Him. I mean, that holy thing, the Holy Ghost moved upon. You still haven't told me how God became a man. You just told me the process whereby a virgin bore the man. But the blood of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago was the blood of God. The Spirit of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, the Spirit of God. The Word of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago is the Word of God. He said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. How do you understand? I don't understand it. It's one of those wonderful things that I say, Lord God, one day You'll raise us up to a point to where we are able to look in to that that is beyond words, the indescribable. Can't understand it, but believe it, I do. I'm not a monotheist in the sense that, you know, deny the Trinity. I don't believe that. I know Father, Son, Holy Ghost. But explain the Trinity? Don't ask me to. I can't do it. Chapter number 22 and verse 16, He finishes with this. I like this too. I, Jesus, have sent Mine angel to testify to you the things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David. My, isn't that something coming from His own mouth? The Lord Jesus saying, I am the root and offspring of David and the bright and morning star. You know what that implies, the bright and morning star? A new day. What day? Not a day like you know a day. Not a day like you know a day. No, the morning star, the bright and morning star has to do with a new day of an endless day of a new creation that awaits us. Everything that exists at this moment, every creature that exists at this moment, will have to pass through the time when everything that has been created will flee from His face. The only thing that can pass over to the other side will be that He carries over to the other side. Your physical body can't make it. The physical body of anything can't make it. Physical creation can't make it. Only the soul can go over to the other side. Therefore, hell in Revelation is taken and cast into a lake of fire and brimstone, which is on the other side. It's in eternity. The fire and brimstone, the lake of fire in the book of Revelation, is not the one that is not in existence right now. It doesn't exist. That lake of fire and brimstone that He's talking about in Revelation is on the other side of the new creation. Hell will empty up its inhabitants, and they will go to the other side and be cast into a lake of fire and brimstone. Hell itself, hell, not the physical creation of hell, because that won't make it across that. Hell itself, hell in its condemnation and judgment, will be passed into the lake of fire and brimstone and all of the unsaved. That's the future of the unsaved. How literal is that, preacher? That's as literal as a word can say it's literal. Amen. How do you understand that? I don't understand it. I just simply say that's going to be. I can't describe the new creation. That'd be foolish of me to try to do that, wouldn't it you? It doesn't exist yet. How are you going to describe something that doesn't even exist? But God's going to bring it into existence. Silver, gold, everything that's precious to us. Bank accounts, stocks and bonds. Houses and lands. Multinational corporations, barrels of oil. $50,000, $60,000, $70,000, $80,000, $100,000 cars. Yachts. Rolex watches, $1,000 suit. Gone in a heartbeat. What am I going to do, preacher, if I lose all my stuff? It won't make it to the other side. It won't do it. It won't make it. It won't make it. All right, I'll finish by saying this. There will come a time when there's only God and His creatures. All right? Just God and His creatures. There will be no creation. Now, that's hard to fathom. That's hard to fathom. But until He creates a new creation, there'll just be God and you. For the creation will... All right? So there's no ground to stand on, no air to breathe, and no space to inhabit. Nothing. Just nothingness. It will go back to the point where God was in eternity past, just God. Now it's God and His creatures. And from that point of God and His creatures, He will create anew. I want to be there. The sons of God, they shouted for joy when God created. See, He made them before He made the physical creation you know of. And they were there. And they watched it come into being. I won't be standing there. What He's standing on, He's upholding me. And He's saying, now get ready, boys. You're about to see something. And you look out there and there's nothing to look at. There's nothing out there. There's no out there. There's no out there to look at. And then all of a sudden, mountains and rivers, streams, and planets, and solar systems, atoms and molecular structure. I don't know what's going to be out there. But you're going to witness a new creation. You'll witness it. You'll witness it with your two eyes. You don't think that's going to be something? Amen. Brethren, you don't want to miss that. How many want to see that? How many want to be there when God makes a new creation? This old creation's cursed, shot through with sin. Even if God didn't do anything to it, it would eventually wear itself down and out. The law of entropy is working on it right now. It'll wear itself down and out. One day it'll just be worn out. Just, but He's going to make a new one. I'm going to be there. Amen. Father, I pray You'd use what I've said tonight. Now bless Your name, Lord. You've been good to me. God, You've been so good to me. Father, You've been good to me. I give You my life again tonight. I dedicate to Thee again, Father, tonight. What You've given me, I give back to Thee. I have nothing to give You, Lord, except what You've already given me. What can I give You? Bless Your name. Father, in Jesus' name, glorify Yourself now. Glorify Yourself in my life. Father, it's in Your hands. In Thee I live and move and have my being. There's nothing outside Thee, Lord. I pray for my dear brothers and dear sisters tonight. God, let them get a hold of what I've been preaching to them from Revelation. This is a wonderful book. This is a book that opens up the future. This is a book that tells us what it's going to be like. This is a book that tells us who's preeminent and who will be all that is all in the future. God, we pray in Jesus' name. For His sake I ask it. Amen. Let's stand up and sing, brother. Lead us in the song, whatever you got there.